Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night, and you know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for tuning in with me here tonight. Rhino's down there in Studio X, leading the ship as ably as he possibly can. We are brought to you by the good folks over at the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Visit Vicksburg. The website is visitvicksburg.com. We'll be talking about some of the great things going on in my hometown of Vicksburg throughout the show. If you want to reach us here, you can do it on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. Happy to get your thoughts on all the good things happening up here in Starkville at Mississippi State. And some good things happened this weekend for Mississippi State. Hit it, Rhino. I got to give Jeff Lebby and company a good deal of credit because a couple weeks ago I did a podcast where I talked about, I was like, hey, what's going on with recruiting? The momentum isn't looking right. And then, you know, Mississippi State, this is the time of year where they always start piling in the commitments. And it just wasn't coming from Mississippi State. 12 days ago, they had 4 commitments. Today they have 17. And a good number of them made the commitment last weekend, State's second round of official visits. And more of the offensive guys this time around. You know, 2 weekends ago was about defense. This week was a little bit more about offense, although they did get a defensive guy in there on this last little spurt. It starts, though, with one of the biggest recruits in the state, both literally and figuratively, in Mario Nash, offensive lineman out of Kemper County High School. 2 elite offensive linemen in the state this year. One is Tyler Miller down at Laurel. He's currently committed to LSU. He was in Starkville this past weekend, though. I'm sure that recruitment will go down to the final days. And then Mario Nash. State, you absolutely had to get one of those guys. And Nash is a guy that had been kind of listed as a Mississippi State lean, but also a guy that you could tell was enjoying the recruiting process. And it just felt like he was going to let that process linger as long as he could. He enjoyed going on visits. He enjoyed the attention. But he decided to make that decision and go ahead and get committed this past weekend. So that's a good get for State. Rated by 1-3 as the number 9 overall player in the state of Mississippi, which gives State 3 of the top 12. State was able to flip a guy this past weekend. 3-star linebacker Austin Howard flipped him from Vanderbilt, Bartlett High School. I used to live in Bartlett for a couple years. A guy that, you know, they said that was very committed to Vanderbilt and Clark Lee and really liked that program, but at the end of the day, Mississippi State was just too good an offer for him to turn down. So State gets, I guess it's its first flip of the year. Colin Wilson is a guy I'm very interested in. State is able to get 2 running backs committed. Colin Wilson out of Gulf Shores, Alabama, and Jerron Johnson, out of Bartlett High School there. 2 very different backs, but both explosive players, at least they are on their high school film. One thing State needs to get more of, and this is something that's been, if you're a State fan, you know this, and if you just watch State play over the past decade, basically, is State's just never had that elite speed guy. Guys that can just do things in the open field. Tulu Griffin could have been that guy, but State didn't do a great job of getting him the ball in situations where he could be that guy. You know, in a straight race, yeah, I'll take Tulu Griffin. But in football terms, they never really did anything for him outside of special teams. Wilson and Johnson are going to be those kind of explosive players, as are the 2 receivers they committed, Shepherd, Frizzell Shepherd, and and Davian Jackson. Those are guys that bring speed to Mississippi State that they haven't had in years past. And that's, you know, obviously smart recruiting by Levy, because speed is the one thing that you really can't coach. And that's something that State, you know, State's always been a grinded out team, even under Mike Leach. In the air raid, they were still very much a grinded-out offense. You can't ever have watched a Mike Leach team play at Mississippi State and come away with that thought that they were an explosive offense. They were a team that really, you know, kind of ground you down, but they did it through the passing game. This is going to be a little bit more hopeful. You're hopeful, I should say, that it'll be a little bit more big play thing than anything else. Now, those two receivers I mentioned, they come with a caveat. They both live near Baton Rouge. They're both from Louisiana. Davian Jackson's from New Iberia, and then Shepard is actually from Baton Rouge. He goes to Scotlandville Magnet. So what does that mean? Well, you know what it means as well as I do, that if LSU comes knocking, then, you know, those are guys you probably aren't going to get into this class. The good news for State is that they're still on some other receivers, including a couple guys here in the state of Mississippi, Anson Lewis from Columbia. We'll talk about another one in a few minutes. So I'm not too overly worried about the receivers coming into this class, but that's just something to keep an eye on. There were a few guys last weekend that visited that I thought would commit and didn't, which leads me to believe that State might be able to pick up some commitments later. They might be. I hate private commit. I hate that term so much, but kind of where we are. But the defensive tackle out of Hattiesburg, Kevin Otis, the defensive back out of Holmes County Central, Cortez Thomas, and the aforementioned Anson Lewis, the receiver out of Columbia. I think all three of those guys are Mississippi State leans right now. So we'll see if they end up being Mississippi State players at some point. State, you know, like I said, in State, State has three of the top 12 right now. They could, I mean, if you said, you know, who do I think they'll end up with? I mean, I think they'll end up with Caleb Cunningham. I said we'll talk more about him in just a minute. Tyler Miller, I'm gonna say no right this second, but I will say that an offensive lineman out of Laurel is gonna get a phone call from Charles Cross at some point. I mean, that's just gonna happen. Tyler Lockhart, I know he's committed to Auburn right now. That's one that I think will flip to Mississippi State. I just don't see him going away from school from his brother. Well, I mean, that's a tough thing to tell your parents, like, hey, if you want to see us play, you got to go to two different places every weekend. It's just tough. They've already got Kamario Taylor. They've already got Mario Nash. I think they'll get Otis. I think they'll get Thomas, and they have Tyshawn Wills. So that would be six out of the top 12 in the state of Mississippi. Pretty good haul, especially in a year like this where Mississippi has a lot of talent. Anson Lewis is 13th, in case you were wondering there. Also a four-star player. There's 13 four-star players in the state of Mississippi based on the composite ratings on 3, and I think State will get 7 of them. Pretty good. Pretty good. Ole Miss right now has 3, but everybody's saying that a Kylan Deere is going to flip. Deuce Knight currently committed to Notre Dame, but there's a lot of talk that he might flip to Ole Miss. And then the other two guys, Jacoby Harbson and Andrew Maddox, pretty solidly in the Rebel fold right there. Don't see them being a flip candidates down the road. So we shall see. But State, like I said, going from 4 to 17 in two weekends is pretty impressive. And I said this last week, and I want to say it again in case you missed it. The groups that State brought in this weekend and last weekend, those are the guys at the top of the board for Mississippi State's coaches, right? That's who they're going to bring in for these visits. The guys that they have at the top of their board that are both players they want to get and players they think they can get, right? Obviously, they'd like to get, you know, every five-star out there, but that's just not realistic. So, if you're a person that, you know, I trust the coaching staff, I trust their evaluations, and I trust what they're doing, you should feel pretty good because they basically brought in 13 guys and right now have... I'm sorry, they brought in 30 guys, and right now they have 13 commitments from them, and that number could go up as high as 17 by the end of this month or by the end of next month at the latest. That's a pretty good hit rate. I mean, two weekends ago, I think they were 9 of 15. This weekend, I believe 4 of 15, but I expect a couple more. Like I said, I expect Otis and Thomas and Lewis. Lewis hasn't visited yet, I'm sorry. But I expect Otis and Thomas at some point and then Lockhart visited this weekend, and I feel like he'll flip. That's just my opinion as we sit here today. Also on campus this past weekend was Kamario Taylor, the quarterback out of Noxubee, who has really had his recruiting profile go up quite a bit over the past few months in this offseason. He was at the Elite 11 event and did pretty well from what I can tell. Very interesting for the state of Mississippi, by the way. And for all the talent this state produces year in, year out, normally not two big-time quarterbacks, but Deuce Knight and Kamario Taylor were both at this event and both did pretty well. I've got an interview coming up on Friday with Marshall Levinson. He covers national recruiting for Rivals. He was at the Elite 11 event. I want to talk to him and get his thoughts on Kamario Taylor, who, like I said, has had a great offseason in terms of seeing his recruiting profile go up. I don't think he'll end up as a five-star, but he'll end up as a high four-star by the time this is all said and done. Really good weekend for Mississippi State on the recruiting front. But there's still that one big fish out there, so let's talk about him when we come back. Caleb Cunningham made an announcement yesterday. What does that mean for Mississippi State? I don't know. Let's have it out. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Back here on Thunder and Lightning. Oh, there's some right there. Super Talk Mississippi, I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino down there in Studio X. We are brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. This one's pretty cool here. Living history on the old courthouse lawn. This Saturday, 8:30 to 5 at the Old Courthouse Museum. $7 admission for adults, $4 for children. The Deep South Military Vehicles Club will be there with vehicles from World War II to Desert Storm, set up on the north side of the old courthouse. For more information, call 601-636-0741. Pretty cool. Check that out. That'll be something I think will be worth giving a look. All right, we all know who the top player in the state this year is for high school football. It's Caleb Cunningham, the wide receiver out of Choctaw County, five-star receiver. 0-3 rates him as the number 15 player overall in the country, regardless of position, and the number 2 overall receiver. Offers from just about everybody. He released a top 6 yesterday that had Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, Florida, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. He has visited officially Florida, Tennessee, Alabama, and Auburn. He left every one of those schools and did an interview and said they were his number one school. It's just been consistent with him. I think Caleb Cunningham, you know, people talk to me about Caleb Cunningham. They're like, oh, he's just a real down-home kid, and, you know, he's easily impressionable. I don't know if that's the case. I think Caleb Cunningham may have figured out recruiting. Tell everybody you're the number one. That does two things. It gets the people fired up on the number one school, and it gets everybody else fired up to try to get you back to number one. If you're a Tennessee fan, you're like, hey, we were number one. Why aren't we number one? We got to figure that out. Let's make Caleb Cunningham welcome. I think he's smarter than we are. Hasn't visited officially at Mississippi State or Ole Miss. I believe the plan for him is officially to visit Ole Miss in July for their cookout event. I believe it's called Juice Fest. And that's going to be later in July after the end of the dead period. And then for State, he's planning a fall official visit. He's going to come to a game. That's the plan. His plan prior to all this had been to make his decision around signing day. He was going to let it play all the way out and make his decision then. He said, now he's planning a July decision, which means he will not have officially visited Mississippi State when he makes that decision, if that indeed holds. Now, as I've said many times, Caleb Cunningham is a guy I have seen on campus a number of times. He lives near Starkville. He comes to a lot of events here in Starkville. He was at a number of baseball games this year. I couldn't tell you the number of times I saw him out in the lounge, talking with Coach Bumpus, talking with Coach Lebby, talking with some of his friends who play here at Mississippi State. He's very tight with J.J. Harrell. He's very tight with Stonka Burnside. The thing to remember with Caleb is this, is that he's a five-star. And, you know, for Mississippi State fans, not a lot of five-stars pop up on the radar, and I get that. So, you know, these are guys, it's not going to be just, hey, they're going to commit and we're going to hold on to them. You know, this is one you really got to recruit hard. Everybody in the country would want Caleb Cunningham. I mean, he listed his top six, but he could go to Ohio State if he wanted to. He could go to Michigan. He could go to Georgia. Nobody in the country would say no to Caleb Cunningham. So you got to recruit the heck out of that guy. So where do I think it's going to go? That's the interesting part. I think if it had waited until signing day, I would tell you that he ends up at Mississippi State. And here's the thing. I think no matter what happens, if he holds to this this July commitment idea, I still think he could end up at Mississippi State. I promise that Lebby and company aren't going to give up on him. They're not going to just throw their hands up and go, oh, well, he committed here, so we can't get him now. But it feels like Alabama has a ton of momentum in them right this second. And why shouldn't they, right? It's Alabama. No matter who's the head coach, it's still Alabama. Kalen DeBoer's offense is certainly wide receiver friendly. He knows that team's going to throw the ball as much as it ever has. He knows that he'll always have elite quarterback play there at Alabama. So it could be a situation where he ends up committing there, and then, you know, State continues to recruit him, and then hopefully you can get him back in the boat. I just feel like it's a missed opportunity, though. And look, I'm not Caleb Cunningham. I'm not his dad. I'm not trying to tell him how to live his life. He should absolutely do what he wants to do. But man, would it help Mississippi State to get him in the boat now, because he and Taylor are a couple guys who can bring other players in. State has got a lot of juice on the recruiting trail right this second. A Cunningham commitment, all of a sudden they're a national story. All of a sudden, it was like, what's happening at Mississippi State? Man, Jeff Lebby has got it working down there. He's brought in Caleb Cunningham, a guy that we all thought was going to go to Alabama, that had offers from everybody, and he says, I'm going to play at Mississippi State. He's got this quarterback that everybody's talking about, Kamario Taylor. He's got 13 commitments in two weekends. Wow, what's going on there? That's great hype. You know, ask Ole Miss about that. Ask Ole Miss what recruiting hype can do for your recruiting. Sometimes the hype is real. So I don't know if that's going to be what's going to happen there with Caleb Cunningham. And as we talk about this a little bit on tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast, there's a real opportunity, a real chance that he doesn't hold to that. You know, a lot of times you see guys say, hey, I want to commit on this day, and then I decided to put it off. And if I'm advising Caleb Cunningham, if I'm the one who's talking about, I would tell him, hey, take it all the way to signing day. Get every piece of information you can. Milk everybody for everything that they're worth, and then make your decision. And the thing I always say about somebody, this guy's going to have huge NIL offers from everybody. So it really will come down to where he feels like he can have the best career. So that's why, you know, a later decision really benefits State. Lebby needs to show that offense is going to work. He needs to be able to point to Caleb Cunningham and say, look what I did. In 1 year, I turned this offense completely around. Now, next year, when you're here, it's going to be even better. You know, because right now you're just selling him hope. You need to be able to sell him some results. Alabama is not selling hope. They're selling results. Hey, look what Kalen DeBoer has done as a head coach. Hugh Freeze at Auburn is selling results. Look at all the explosive offenses I've had as a coach. Lane Kiffin is doing that. Josh Heupel is doing that. I don't know what Billy Napier is selling him. I'll be totally honest with you. Maybe the NFL tradition, but it's not there with Billy Napier. But he likes Florida, so be it. Surprised that LSU's not in the running for him, but this kind of is what it is there. Cunningham is a difference maker, though. Don't for 1 second think that he isn't. He is a guy that if he were to commit to Mississippi State and sign with Mississippi State, he would 100% probably be a starter next year, but definitely would be on the two deep and be a big contributor. He's just such an incredible talent, just such an incredible athlete. I don't know if you saw any of his highlights playing basketball this year. I honestly think this guy could be an SEC player playing basketball if that's the way he wanted to go. He's just he's as good a receiver as we've produced in this state since A.J. Brown and DK Metcalf were here. I mean, he's just that good. And those are two guys that are stars in the NFL right now. So where does he end up at the end of the day? I mean, like I said, I think Mississippi State is where he ends up. I do know that he is very close to his family. He does not want to go too far away. But, you know, what's too far away, right? Is Tuscaloosa too far away? It's 2 hours away. Is that too far? If that's too far, then, you know, it's kind of an Egg Bowl thing, right? It's State or Ole Miss. I'm going to go with what my podcast co-host Robbie Falk always says. Just follow the visits. Caleb Cunningham has been in Starkville more than he's been literally anywhere else in terms of college campuses. So that bodes well for Mississippi State. His friends are here. He has a great relationship with Bumpus. He has a good relationship with Levy. So I feel pretty good about State's chances there. The thing to remember, though, is this. If he does hold to that July decision and he does not commit to Mississippi State, it is not over. You know, too many times in recruiting it becomes, oh, well, they committed somewhere else. We'll just have to go to Plan B. That will not be the case with Caleb Cunningham. He's Plan A the whole way. So we'll see how that goes. It would be so big for Mississippi State to be able to get him into this class. It would be great to get him in early. I just don't see that happening. But just getting him is going to be enough of a win for Mississippi State, because that's the kind of recruit that changes people's perceptions about your program. You know, I always talk about wide receivers at Mississippi State. There has not been a wide receiver drafted at Mississippi State since Eric Moulds. That was 1996. We're going on 28 years, 28 NFL drafts without a Mississippi State wide receiver being called. And I mean, there have been some good ones there at Mississippi State, but none of them have been drafted. State has got to break that trend. And, you know, that's the way, you know, why does Ole Miss get great receivers? Well, because they've put great receivers into the NFL. And so it's easy to point to. It's kind of the same reason State's done well in the past with defensive linemen. So Cunningham to State would be a huge statement that things are going to be a little different as far as recruiting goes for Mississippi State at the wide receiver position. All right, when we come back, I know some of you guys have gotten upset with me because I keep making comparisons to this State team and the Ole Miss team from 2020. So let's try a different comparison. Let's talk about Mississippi State comparing them to another team with the same offense, same kind of situation. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
Welcome back. Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. If you're looking to text the show, do it. 601-879-4395. That's the C Spire text line. I've lined up a visitor to come see us tomorrow at the Fan and Mart on the Thunder and Lightning Superior Catfish Tour. We'll talk more about that a little later in the show. Visit Vicksburg wants to. Let's just go ahead and get the 4th of July stuff rolling. A lot of stuff going on in the city of Vicksburg. On the 4th, a pool party at the Mulberry from 4 to 9 with live music. There'll be watermelon slices at the Old Depot Museum at 1010 Levy Street. You can just stop in there from 5 o'clock on and get a slice of watermelon. As hot as it's going to be, that's a good idea. And then, of course, downtown fireworks starting at 7 in downtown Vicksburg with live music by Dr. Czar's Amazing Funk Monster afterwards. So. Glad to see they're celebrating the 4th of July in my town. You know about that, Rhino? About the 4th of July in Vicksburg?
No.
So, the siege of Vicksburg ended on July 4th, 1863.
Right.
As a result, the 4th of July was never celebrated until, like, my mom, who is 77, was in her 20s, I think. She said, like, the first time she remembers the 4th of July getting, like, fireworks and everything was she was, like, in the 60s. Like they held that grudge for a long time in Vicksburg. So, but yeah, they never celebrated it because that's the day that the siege of Vicksburg ended. So. All right, you guys have been getting on to me about this 2024 Mississippi State versus 2020 Ole Miss thing. That's fine. Let's take another look at somebody else then. You can say you don't want to be compared to Ole Miss. I get it. I understand. So let's talk about 2021 Tennessee. Josh Heupel's first year at Tennessee. Josh Heupel was obviously the head coach of Central Florida when his offensive coordinator was Jeff Lebby. And they run a very similar style offense, this veer and shoot offense. So he comes in to take over for Jeremy Pruitt. You know, was run off not only because he was not successful, but had the NCAA issues going. Pruitt's last year there was obviously 2020. That team was not good. 3-7 in their 10 conference game schedule. Only scored an average of 21 points per game. 215 points in 10 games. The year before that, 314 points in 13 games. So that would be just about 25, 26 points per game. Not good offensive numbers. Heupel comes in and in year one scores 511 points in 13 games. So basically a jump of two touchdowns per game. In 2020, Tennessee only scored 40 points one time. That was against Vanderbilt, who went winless that year. They scored 42 points. That was it. It was only one time they scored over 40. The next year in 2021, they scored over 40, if I'm looking at this right, six times. Once in a loss. So, you know, exciting game. Their Music City Bowl loss to Purdue, 48-45. So this is their point totals every game in 2020. 31, 35, 21, 7, 17, 13, 17, 19, 42, 13. The next year, 38, 34, 56, 14, 62, 45, 26, 24, 45, 17. That was to Georgia. 60, 45, 45. Obvious, notable improvement. Again, with guys that were basically on the roster. The one addition was a transfer quarterback by the name of Hendon Hooker. I just turned Joe Milton and Hendon Hooker into one player. Hilton Milton. Who was, you know, coming in from Virginia Tech, there wasn't really a reason to think that this guy was going to come in and just be a dominant player, right? 2 years at Virginia Tech, he'd been okay. He goes to Tennessee in his first year as a starter. He throws for nearly 3,000 yards and throws 31 touchdowns to three picks. The next year, 3,200 yards passing, 27 touchdowns and two picks, and that's when he's missing the final two games of the season with an injury. So he would have been well over 3,600 yards, probably been 34, 35 touchdowns. Just a tremendous college football player. And did a lot in the running game for them. Rushed for over 1,000 yards in his 2 years at Tennessee. So, the question becomes, you know, and that year, the most important thing, I guess, is that Tennessee was 7-5 in the regular season, and they lost their bowl game to finish 7-6. Schedule tougher for Mississippi State this year. Although it was a tough schedule for Tennessee. They played an 11-3 Pitt team in one of their non-conference games, which they lost. They had to play Ole Miss that year. They lost that game. That was, of course, the crazy Lane Kiffin game. Played Alabama, played and beat a 10-win Kentucky team, lost to Georgia, who only lost one game that year, on route to the national title. And then Purdue that year, if you recall, Purdue played in the Big Ten championship game that year. Why did Purdue only play 13 games? They didn't play in the Big Ten. I'm sorry, my mistake then. It was the next year they played in the Big Ten championship game. My mistake. So they played a pretty tough schedule, but offensively they were able to stay in every game. And that's what you're hoping for in year one with Jeff Lebby, is that offensively you can score enough points that you can just stay in every game and have an opportunity. If you go back and look at that first year for Tennessee, the only two games that they didn't have a chance, I guess I should say three games they didn't have a chance in, they got blown out by Florida. And that was early in the year when Florida was still, you know, Florida at that point, they were 3-1, but their one loss was to Alabama. They had lost a close game to Alabama. This is Mullins' last year. You didn't really know that they were not going to be good at that point. They lost to, they got blown out by Alabama, who of course would play for the national title and won the SEC, and they got blown out by Georgia, who won the national title. So two of their three losses are the teams that played in national. Two of their these three close losses are teams that played in the national championship game. I'm sorry, three of their blowout losses, national championship game. I'll get there eventually. The rest of the losses were close. They lost to Ole Miss by 5. They lost to Pitt by 7. And they lost to Purdue by 3. So they were just able to score points and try to stay ahead on the scoreboard. But when they did lose, they were still putting points on the board, except for these two games with Georgia and Florida. The Florida game is just an outlier, it feels like. It feels like that's a game, if you could have played it again later in the season, might have been a different outcome. Obviously, you can't do that. Alabama and Georgia played for the national title. They played both of those teams. Beating Kentucky is a big win that year. That was a good Kentucky team. That was Will Levis's junior year where they won 10 games. They won the Citrus Bowl. Ole Miss was a 10-win team that year. They played a stretch here of playing four straight 10-win-plus teams, Ole Miss, Alabama, Kentucky, Georgia. And they went, you know, they went 1-3 in that, but, I mean, State's going to have something similar this year when they have Georgia and Texas back-to-back, and then, you know, they do have to play, they also have to play Tennessee, Missouri, and Ole Miss back-to-back. All of those teams are going to be favored to win 9-10 games each, in some cases 11-12 games each. So can State do the same thing there? You know, I've made that comment a bunch of times about 2020 Ole Miss. Is can they, you know, that Ole Miss team was awful defensively. And in case you're wondering, yeah, this Tennessee team was awful defensively. As I mentioned, they gave up 378 points in 13 games. So they gave up just over 30 points per game. But they scored 38, 39 points per game. They were just good enough offensively to win games and to do things, to be improved. You know, they were 7th nationally in total in scoring offense, but they were 90th in scoring defense. I don't, the issue for me is this. It's tough for me to sit here and say in June that State's going to be a top 10 scoring offense. That's difficult for me to wrap my head around, because State was so bad a season ago, and they have so many new faces. If Jeff Lebby's able to do that, that is a tremendous, tremendous green flag that things are going to be good for Mississippi State going forward. We've pointed out Ole Miss a few times, very similar numbers there in terms of the gap between scoring offense, scoring defense. That team was 14th scoring offense, 118 scoring defense. Only a difference of a point per game, 39 points for, 38 points against. Tennessee was 39 points for, 29 points against. So I do think State can be between 90 and 100 defensively. I do think that. Can they be a top 20 team offensively? That's the bigger question. Because, and I didn't know at the time with Hendon Hooker, and I didn't know at the time with Matt Corral, but knowing what I know now, do I think Blake Shapen can be that? I don't know. It's the same answer. I'm just going to say this. The veer and shoot offense, I've got two examples here of taking over teams that couldn't do anything offensively, and they were elite offensively in year one once this offense was installed. So that's where I am. The comparisons work if you want to be optimistic. So we'll see. All right, we'll wrap it up when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Attention, talcum powder.
Know if you have hail damage. Not all roof damage can be spotted from the ground. Gallo here. From experience, believe me, you need a pro that you can trust to give you an honest assessment of your roof. There's no better team than Watkins Construction and Roofing. You can trust them to give you an honest evaluation. The Watkins team will answer your call 24/7 and give you a complimentary roof inspection and estimate. Plus, count on them to get back with you as fast as the next business day. Financing is available. Count on the pros. Watkins, 601-966-8222. 1-800-333-2233.
For all your glass needs, call Venable Glass Services. Glass Networks, they're there to try and steer you to use their own glass shop. Well, you can tell your insurance you want to use Venable Glass, and there'll be no additional cost to them to get the highest quality glass. Venable Glass is locally owned and operated, and they do windshield replacement and rock repair right there in their shops. Or they'll even come to you in the Tri-County area for free. That's right, free mobile service. At Venable Glass, they also do frameless and frame shower doors, mirrors cut to size and installed, picture frame glass, tables, desktops, insulated glass, plexiglass, commercial storefronts, and heavy equipment glass. Venable Glass, they'll come out and give you a free estimate. They want to work hard for your business. Venable Glass, open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and on Saturday, 8 to noon. Hey, there's two locations too, in Ridgeland at 660 Highway 51 North and Brandon at 209 Woodgate Drive South in Cross Gates. Check them out on the web at VenableGlass.com. Remember, for all your glass needs, call Venable Glass Services, 601-605-4443.
Since 1871, Gaddis McLaurin Mercantile in downtown Bolton has been providing everything you need. Everything for your house, fencing, plumbing, flowers, lumber. Everything for your animals, dogs, cats, birds, chickens, cows, horses, and everything for your patio and yard. Bayou Classic cookers, wind chimes, Orca and Pelican coolers, we have most everything. 150 years of serving the community, family owned and operated, Gaddis McLaurin Mercantile, downtown Bolton since 1871. We'll see you soon.
Home. Grammy Museum, Mississippi to experience Highway 61.
Traveling America's Music Highway now through the fall 2024. This exhibit will take visitors on a journey down the famous Highway 61, exploring music sites, artifacts, and celebrating the artists that played a major role in shaping American music history. Artists like Muddy Waters, Ann Peoples, Dr. John, Conway Twitty, and Bobby Rush, to name a few. To purchase tickets or to learn more about this exhibit and other events,
visit GrammyMuseumMississippi.org.
Watch your favorite SuperTalk shows in HD. Just go to supertalktv.com. Ever wonder what goes on in the studio during the shows? Now you can watch what happens in HD. SuperTalk TV, streaming now on supertalktv.com.
What's the key to a quick and fun travel escape? Enjoy public art outside, or outsider art inside, and refresh your sense of history with awe-inspiring parks and museums. Vicksburg is the key to the South.
To all the folks in the Capital City metro area, love to have you join me tomorrow morning, 6 till 9, Gallo Show. We'll start your day the informed way, Super Talk Mississippi 97.3.
Thunder and lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Let's wrap things up here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the Thunder and Lightning podcast. It's available wherever podcasts are found or at supertalk.fm 5 days a week. Mississippi State sports. If you're a Mississippi State fan, you need to be subscribed to the Thunder and Lightning podcast. Please. Say please. You'll do that. A couple of questions here, or a couple of comments here on the Seaspire text line. Denny and Flowood, is David Mershon in the portal or waiting on the draft? He's obviously waiting on the draft, but he's not in the portal at this time. And I don't expect him to be either. I think he'll either play next year in Starkville or he'll be drafted and move on. I know he tweeted yesterday that it was kind of cryptic, but his dad did come back behind him and say, hey, this isn't a goodbye tweet or anything like that. So right now I would expect Mershon. I mean, it just depends on where he gets drafted. I guess I should say that. I don't really have any expectation one way or the other. If he gets drafted high enough, he'll go. If he doesn't, he'll stay and come back. He has another year of leverage to play with. I'm somewhat optimistic about the offense. I'm just afraid that this defense against this schedule could be historically terrible. I mean, I get that, but again, if you're scoring enough points, it's going to be okay. I get that Ole Miss defense was historically terrible in 2020, but they scored enough points to win games. You know, you should be able to win your four non-conference games, and then you should be able to find a way to score enough points to win two games in the conference. That's 6-6 and gets you to a bowl, and that's a fine start in year one. What happens in Oxford happens. Don't let that affect, you know, keep your eye on Mississippi State. Ole Miss is going to be good this year. Don't worry about it. Worry about Mississippi State and getting better each and every year. That's what Mississippi State fans have to do this season. So I'm optimistic about the offense, but it's just it's difficult to wrap my head around a team that was so bad a season ago taking that big of a step forward. But again, Heupel did it. Kiffin and Lebby did it at Ole Miss. Can he do it at Mississippi State? That's going to be the question there. Mississippi State men's basketball, very interesting news today that they have signed a home-and-home series with SMU starting next year. So State will go to Dallas next year and will host the Mustangs. That's an SEC-ACC matchup. So State has two ACC games next year. They host Miami in the SEC-ACC Challenge, and then they will travel to SMU. One thing I'll give Chris Jans a lot of credit for is he knows how to make that schedule work in terms of getting teams on that schedule that are winnable games but are also good for your net rating. He knows how to find that sweet spot of teams State can beat with teams that it helps your resume. He does a fine job of that. And State, under his guidance, has been really good in the out-of-conference. Obviously, the one awful loss a season ago to Southern, but beyond that, you know, one of the reasons State has been in the two straight NCAA tournaments is they've had great net going into conference play. So that's a good series for Mississippi State. And, of course, Dallas is a city. There's a good number of Mississippi State alums there as well. So be a fun trip for some. Tomorrow in Flowood at the Fan and Mart, the Thunder and Lightning Catfish Tour continues, presented by Superior Catfish. Robbie Falk and I will be there around 11. So come by, say hello, come meet us. Be a great time. We have an interview. We have one interview lined up with former Diamond Dog Riley Self. He will be there to talk about his great career at Mississippi State and being part of some great teams. Of course, I think Riley Self's greatest legacy is that he coined the phrase "Dogs Win Again." I hope he's getting a piece of that from all the people who are marketing. So we'll talk to him plus a few others, hopefully. And we can have a great time and enjoy some fantastic catfish. Looking forward to I do my research on these places, right? So you know, I check out the menu, and this place looks right up my alley. A lot of great choices on the menu there, but most importantly, that fantastic Superior catfish. So hopefully you guys will come out, and it also means Rhino, I'm gonna come see you tomorrow and give you a hug because I will be in studio tomorrow, Studio X, since I'll be down there in Jackson.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed that it was going to be a lunchtime thing, and I can't make it.
I will see about bringing you a plate back. How about that?
I would be most appreciative.
There we go. I will make that happen for you. So you can get you some catfish to enjoy. It's just that time of year. I'll try not to be too starstruck. Come on, guys. Come on. No, every time I meet somebody who's like, "Oh, I'm a big fan," it never makes me unamazed that I have big fans. I don't understand how that happened to me, but it did. Anything else going on worth talking about here? Oh, I'm gonna give you totally unrelated, but this a friend of mine was on Rebecca Turner's show recently. Her name's Alex Watson. If you follow me on Twitter, I've been talking about her a lot. I want to give her a shout out. She has made it to like the top five of this America's Favorite Chef competition. Please vote for her. I keep tweeting the links. If you will vote for her and she wins, it's going to benefit the shelter that she works at. Plus, maybe she'll cook me something for giving her all this pub. She is a great chef. So please vote for my friend Alex Watson in the Favorite Chef competition. You can find it on the Rebecca Turner's Facebook page, the Good Things with Rebecca Turner page. She's got a link up there for Alex as well. All right, guys. See you guys tomorrow. If you're in Jackson in the Flowood area, please come to the Phantom Mart and enjoy some catfish with me. Until then, for Rhino, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening here to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.